All right, folks, I think this is the seventh class in the series, if I'm not mistaken. They're all online, by the way, on yutorah.org. And what I want to do tonight, or at least begin, is I picked something which is relevant to this week, because Tanis Esther is on Thursday. So it's not Tanis Esther, excuse me. Aser B'Teves, that's what I meant, Aser B'Teves. Okay, Aser B'Teves.
So,
Sarva Teves is this week, and so, but the Gemara is an interesting Gemara because it's a little historical on the one hand, and it reflects in terms of our practice. There's an interesting debate in the Talmud, which I would imagine that not everybody's familiar with, and so between those, and it's also a good kind of Gemara based on the rules that we've been learning in terms of how to get through a Gemara. It has a lot of those features. And just to review what those features are, we look for, like when there's a pasuk, shenamar, for example. We look for when a new speaker is introduced. We look for when a new speaker is, we look for the vavs. The vavs. We look for repetitions of phrases. Okay, those are the main things which we've been noting. And so that's what this Gemara has. And also, in the packet which I gave you, towards the back part, the latter part of this, we'll have some phrases which appear in the Gemara, which are good terms to know in terms of just methodologically how they introduce a new idea or explain, or at least the book here explains how those phrases are utilized. Now, just the last thing in terms of just the package which I gave you, so I actually gave you. Because when I'm dealing with this stuff, sometimes it's photocopies. It's just not a very good copy. So I gave you two versions of the same Gemara. The first one, the first page where the staple is on the top left, that is from a classic page of the Talmud. Okay, and that's the one which we've been more used to using, with the circles that send us to the Torah Or and the asterisks which send us to the Mesoras Hashas. Okay, and that's what you have there. The next page is
blank.
The next page is actually the articles version of the Gemara, which has the Torah Or moved over into the column, and it has the Mesoras Hashas placed as, meaning in the margin, rather, in the margin of the page, and has the Mesoras Hashas, instead of being asterisks which send you across to the margin, they're footnotes which are put on the top. Okay, so we're not looking for stars now. We're looking for little letters which send us to the top. But
you're
unfortunately,
about the very first column, though, aren't you?
I'm talking about the right margin.
Okay.
If you look at the very, okay, I'm now on the second page in the booklet. Okay, the second full sheet. So if you look at the top right, you'll see Mesoras Hashas,
right.
And all of the Gemara references from elsewhere in the Talmud are just at the top of the page. So we're no longer, in the article version, you don't have an asterisk which sends you to the side directly across. It sends you all as a footnote to the top. And for the Torah Or, instead of having a circle, it also has a different style letter, and it actually gives you the entire pasuk. I'm sorry that the copies that I gave you are not so clear, but at least the Gemara should be navigable, even if the Torah Or or the Mesoras Hashas is not. But the good news is that whenever we have a pasuk, I gave you those pasukim on the back of the package. Okay, so those should be pretty clear. Okay, and they're translated as well. All right? So here's what we're going to do. You can use either the more traditional Talmud, which has the asterisks, which send you to the side, and the Torah Or, which sends you to the mini margin, or you can use the article version if that is your preference, just because it might be a little more clear, because these copies are not so good. So either way is fine. We're starting on the bottom of the first page. The top of the page says Yudches. Remember what Yudches means? 18. And this is Yudches Amud Aleph, side A. Side A. On the back of this page, just if you turn for a second, you'll see it's a 36. You'll see a number 36. 36 is double 18. It's 18B. Okay, or page 36. In the article version, you see how it says Yud Ches with a single dot? That's Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Yud Ches A. You turn over the article page, you're going to see Yud Ches with two dots. Yeah, it looks like a colon, but it's really two dots. Okay, two dots means Yud Ches 18b. Okay, so it's just a matter of preference in terms of the Gemara, how the Gemara presents it. Okay, we're looking at the very bottom. We're going to look at the Mishnah. Can everybody find the Mishnah? What do you have to look for to find a Mishnah?
Mishnah.
It stands for Masnisin. Okay, so Mem Tav Nun Yud with an apostrophe. So we're three lines from the bottom.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Yep.
Three lines from the bottom. All right, now I'm not reading this. Okay, so we have to figure out where is the first pause. Okay, so what are we gonna use for? We're either gonna look for a shenamar. Well, there isn't really a shenamar here, so we're gonna look for either a repeat or a vav, or a speaker. Okay. Okay, well, there's one word which repeats itself over and over and over again in the Mishnah. Okay, well, even before Mipnei.
Al.
That's it. Al. Exactly. Al. So we have, therefore, Al, Shisha, Chadashim, Hashluchin, Yotzin, Al. Okay, Al. Repeat. So now we have to figure out if that repeat of a word is part of the previous phrase, or is it indicating to us that it's a new phrase? Okay, so if anybody thinks it's part of the previous phrase, just read through it, then raise your hand. If you think it's part of a new phrase, that'll be the second option. Okay? If you think it is part of the previous phrase, raise your hand. Anybody? If you think it's part of a new phrase, raise your hand. Okay, so most people think it's part of a new phrase. All right, so let's read it that way. Al Shisha Chadashim Hashluchin Yotzin. So we have to break this down. Well, is there any phrase in there that's easier to understand? This is Hebrew, right? The Mishnah is in Hebrew. Okay, Shisha Chodeshim, good. Okay, Shisha Chodeshim means 6 months. What does Al mean?
On.
So on 6 months. Well, we're going to see what this means. Hashluchin Yotzin. That's the phrase that's left. What are Shluchin?
Shluchin is somebody
who comes... No, that's right. Right, yeah, what are they? What's their job really?
Messengers.
Right, what are they really? You're talking about Mishulachim, right? What are Mishulachim? They're sent, schnarrers, right. Okay. They're people who are sent by an institution, presumably, usually. Okay, sometimes they're sent by themselves. Okay, but they're usually sent by others. So a shaliach is somebody who's a messenger, who's sent off to represent something. Okay? So on 6 months, the shluchin, people who are sent, yotzin, they go out. All right, they go out. So now we're going to see what those 6 months are, and what are these shluchin? Who are these shluchin? What are these people who are being sent out? What are they being sent out for? Now, the truth is, had we been learning, we're taking this out of context. Had you been learning Mishnayis Rosh Hashanah, or had you been learning the Gemara up until now, you'd know exactly what this is referring to. But since we're just taking this out of context, so we don't know, but we're going to figure it out in a second.
All right.
Okay, so remember, our repeated word is Al. So that means that our next phrase is Al Nisan Mipnei HaPesach.
In Nisan before Passover.
Okay. Right. For Nisan, because of Passover. Okay, because of the holiday of Pesach. All right? Al Av Mipnei Atanis. And I'm just doing it based on the Al. Okay? Al Av Mipnei Atanis. On Av?
Because of the fast.
Because of the fast day. Okay, anybody want to take a guess as to what's going on here? What are these shluchin?
You sent out 7 weeks before Shoshana after the fast.
No. They're not. It's not about that. This is about. So look at what's the name of this Masechta?
Rosh Hashanah.
It's Rosh Hashanah. Okay. One of the key aspects of what's talked. No. One of the key aspects which is talked about in Masechta's Rosh Hashanah is actually it begins talking about the rules of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. It gets into the laws of what we call Rosh Hashanah, actually in the third chapter when it talks about the rules of Shofar. But in the first two chapters of Rosh Hashanah, it talks about Rosh Chodesh. So we're in the first chapter, it's talking heavily about Rosh Chodesh. So when it's talking about the shluchim, it's talking about shluchim, messengers from Beis Din, who in those days, see nowadays, when it's Rosh Chodesh, we know when it's Rosh Chodesh because we have a set calendar.
Okay.
And even nowadays, even if we didn't have a set calendar, we have something fantastic. It's called the internet. So nowadays, like, you know, I like to joke every now and then that if the Beis Hamikdash were around they would have a website. The whole Jewish world, all around the globe, could be able to make a donation to the Beis Hamikdash. Right, you just click here, right, at the top of the website, donate to the Beis Hamikdash. And when it's Rosh Chodesh, the Beis Din would just change their status on their Facebook page and on their website and say, we just declared Rosh Chodesh, everybody. And then guess what? All around the world, one day Yontif, exactly. Okay, so that's how it would be today. So I don't know why we can't figure that out for the rest of us and say, you know, okay. But anyway, but in the olden days they couldn't do that. So how did you get the word out? So the fire was one method, but we're not talking about that. They send out a messenger. Okay, the messenger would keep score of how many days passed since Rosh Chodesh, and so by the time they get to all the distant places, they would let everybody know. Look, on such and such day last week or a couple days ago was Rosh Chodesh, and so now everybody would know. So when it says that the messengers would go out on specific months, so that people would know exactly when the holiday in question is. So it's going in the order of the calendar months. So the first month in the numbers is Nisan. Okay, so why about Nisan? To let everybody know when is Pesach. Okay, what's the next one on here?
Av.
So why doesn't it go out in Sivan to let us know when Shavuos is? Anybody want to guess?
Because
it's not based on Sivan. It's based on Sfiras Omer. Since everybody starts counting Sfiras Omer.
Rosh Hashanah.
Okay? So Av Mipnei HaTayin. So everybody should know when Tisha B'Av is. Okay? We all together? We move on. Al Elul Mipnei Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Elul, so that we would know when Rosh Hashanah is. Why can't you send somebody out in Tishrei to let everybody know when Rosh Hashanah is? Well, forget about not benching Rosh Chodesh. It's too late. By the time the Shliach gets to some place, Rosh Hashanah is already over. So this means that we know how many days are in Elul. Elul is always 29 days. Or, actually, maybe it's not always 29 days. That's the reason why, even in Israel today, Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. Because you know when Rosh Chodesh Elul is. So you know when the 29th of Elul is, but you don't know if Elul is a 30-day month or a 29-day month. So that means that Rosh Hashanah was just always observed 2 days. Okay, that's the point. Next one. Al Tishrei Mipnei Takonas Hamoados. So actually they did send out for the declaration of Tishrei. And what's Takonas Hamoados? Okay, by the way, I hope I'm not assuming breaks that nobody understands. Okay, we've determined the patterns. I'm just going from the word al to al.
Right.
Is everybody with me?
Yep.
How we determine that? Mm-hmm. Okay. So takonas hamoados. What is takonas hamoados?
Different.
Right. Okay. So in other words, everybody was just guessing about Rosh Hashanah, hoping to get it right, and therefore doing 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. But now let's get all the other Yom Tovim right. Let's get Yom Kippur right. Let's get Sukkot right. Okay. So that's why Tishrei would go out as well. Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah. Okay? That's one of the few references to Chanukah that's in the Mishnah, even though there's no there's no set discussion about Chanukah, but it's all over the place. So here's a unique reference to Chanukah. V'al Adar Mipnei Hapurim. Okay, so we get 6 months? Let's review. Yeah, pretty quickly, right? You're not present anymore. Okay, Nisan, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Kislev, Adar. That's 6 months. Yes.
But what if it's a leap year?
Okay, that's a good question. Okay. Then it wouldn't matter because that's when Nisan would go out. So people would say, oh, if the Shaliach never shows up, then it's Adar.
Oh, see, he'd show.
So what you're asking lends itself to a very fascinating question, which has halachic ramifications for bar mitzvahs, yard sites, right? Which is the extra Adar,
right?
The first Adar or the second? So it's like Groundhog Day,
right?
So it comes for Adar, then the groundhog goes in, sees its shadow, and they say, you know what? This is going to be Adar Aleph. No, but that's true. But in terms of But in terms, anyway, I don't want to get into that discussion. But in other words, if no, it's always Adar Beis. It's always a month before Pesach. But the point is that let's say Shvat ends up being still totally winter, then the Beis Din is going to say, all right, well, it's too early for this to be Adar pre Pesach, so this is going to be Adar Aleph, and they would let the message out that way.
So Shliach go out?
No, if they don't go out. If they don't go out, then nobody knows when Purim is. They have to say, oh, you know what? A shliach never came, so this must have been Adar Aleph. Okay? Okay. Right, the absence of a shliach. Okay? Now, we're up to... Now, we don't see an owl, but I'm assuming that everybody understands the owl, Adar mipnei ha-Purim. Once you get to the word Purim, you know, based on the formulation of everything else up until now, that's where we're going to stop. Aside from that, what do we have? Of. Okay? Everybody with me? Again, I'm trying to not assume anything. So, fine. So now we're up to the last part of the Mishnah, which is the last, 9 or 10 words. So what do we do now? Okay, do we have another repetition here? Another repeat. No, there's no... Okay, so the abbreviation there, Beis Mem Kuf, stands for Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that stands for Beis HaMikdash. All right, but that's the type of thing that you just figure out with practice, or you just figure it out because you know. Okay, it would be in an abbreviation dictionary. There are books called like Sefer Rashi Tevos or something, Otsar Rashi Tevos, a book that has abbreviations in it. All right, but anyway, so where's the next break, or where's the next repeat? There are two repeats that I see, three repeats. Okay, what are words that are repeats that we've seen before in this Mishnah? Yotzin, good. Yotzin, what was Yotzin referring to? How the shaliach would go out. Okay, that's one. What else is a repeat?
Al.
And what we said, mipnei. Okay? So when you see al, al-iyar mipnei pesach kata. Alright, so we can get what that means. Al-iyar, the shlichin would go out in the month of iyar for pesach kata. Okay? Now, what about the phrase beforehand? U'cheshahaya beis hamikdash kayam. What does that mean?
When the
Beis HaMikdash was existing, so they would go out for Iyar. Okay, now, who can explain why? I thought we're counting Sfiras HaOmer. I thought we're counting Sfiras HaOmer. So?
Maybe they want to make sure that they count properly.
No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying for Pesach Katan. When's Pesach Katan? There's a date for it.
Is that Pesach Sheni?
Yeah, Pesach Sheni. Okay, it's the 14th of Iyar, correct. When's Shavuos, according to the Torah? What's the date for Shavuos? Listen to the question. What is the date for Shavuos, according to the Torah?
Seven weeks after Pesach. Right.
It's the 50th day. It has nothing to do with a date.
In,
no, it has. It doesn't say a date. It's the 50th day. It is now, because we have a set calendar. But they didn't care, basically. I shouldn't say didn't care. Obviously, Rosh Chodesh is important. But insofar as knowing when Shavuos is, it didn't matter. Because Shavuos wasn't the 6th of Sivan. If Nisan... And remember, in the Rosh Chodesh rules, a month is either 29 days or 30 days. But how long the just finished month is depends on when witnesses would say, we saw the new moon. Okay, that's a rule of Rosh Chodesh, which... Again, had we been learning this stuff, we would have learned already in Rosh Hashanah. So it would be dependent on when the witnesses came. And once the witnesses came, Beis Din says, okay, it's Rosh Chodesh, and they send the messengers out. So in those days, before we had a set calendar, Nisan could be a 29-day month, Iyar could be a 29-day month, and if that were the case, Shavuos would be on the 7th of Sivan. What happens if Nisan's 30 days and Iyar is 30 days? Shavuos is on the 5th. If one of them is 29 and the other one is 30, which is the way we have it now, then Shavuos is on the 6th. Okay, so that's why we don't need it for Shavuos, because it's based on the count of Sfiras Omer. It's not about the date. It's not about a date in Sivan, but in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, when those who missed bringing the Karban Pesach on Pesach time needed to have the opportunity to bring the Karban Pesach on Pesach Sheni, then they need to know actually correctly when Iyar began. But you don't need Iyar for your Sphere account. You're counting Sfiras Omer anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the background. That's the Mishnah. Once we're talking about this, and once we and one of the first things which we mentioned here was a fast. Okay? So Nisan, the Gemara doesn't have a question about Nisan. But we went from Nisan to Av. So what do you think is the question that the Gemara is going to ask? Is there anything that... So we already addressed why Shavuos, why we don't have for Sivan. Right? Right? We understand that. Because when's Shavuos based on? Sfiras HaOmer. But what's... There is something missing in the calendar that we should know about, right? Anybody want to say? Let's just go through the months. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. So from Nisan to Av. So what's missing there?
Well, the other months.
No. We're doing this obviously for holidays. We need to know when events on the important calendar dates.
Shva Asar B'Tammuz.
What? Which one?
Shva
Asar B'Tammuz. What? We don't need to know when the fast day of the 17th of Tammuz is. Okay. All right, yeah, better not. I'll tell you something. The first time I remember when I was a kid, one of my father's balbatim took one of my brothers and I to a Giants game. It happened to be Asar B'Teves, and we went to Giants Stadium. It was freezing cold. My brother and I were both under bar mitzvah. We got hot chocolate. So I guess it was like Hershey's hot chocolate, whatever it was. And it was so cold. And this fella, and he had his like 16-year-old son, they ordered coffee or something like that. And my brother and I looking at it, like, don't they know it's a fast day? It's like, okay, well, you know. Anyway, that's a lesson that not everybody fasts. I learned that one at Giant Stadium. Okay, anyway, so let's take a look. All right, let's see if we can find our next break. Vilivku Nami Atamuz Viteves De Omar Rav Chana Bar Bizna Omar Rav Shimon Chasida.
All right, the first Omar.
All right, where is our break?
The first Omar.
At the Omar. Okay, now we had a Vav on the previous page, right? But what kind of Vav is that? Is that a new idea or is that like blue and gold? You forgot about that? Okay. Well, like I said, Velipku Nami Atamuz Viteves. Tamuz Viteves. Is that like blue and gold, or is that two different ideas? Correct. We're in the Gemara now. Yeah, so we're in the last four lines on the page. Okay, Velipku, that's a word you'd have to look up. Velipku means they should go out. Okay, the Shluchim should go out. Nami. Nami means also. Okay, I gave you that word on the back page. I gave you a few words, not too many, but I gave you a few words back here. So the first one is Nami. Velifku Nami, the Shluchim should also go out, Atamuz V'Teves. Okay, so I mentioned before Shivasa V'Tamuz, but there's another one which is skipped, right? So Tamuz, there are two fast days which are totally skipped. Now, why don't we need for what's it called? Tanis Esther. Because it's the day before Purim. We already have a Shliach going out for Adar. Okay, and the same thing for Tzom Gedalia. Tzom Gedalia is the day after Rosh Hashanah. Okay, it's the day after Rosh Hashanah. So we don't need to ask about those, but Tammuz and Teves were skipped. So the Gemara is asking, hey, what about Tammuz and Teves? What?
Skip them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's what the Gemara is going to talk about. Okay? All right, let's turn the page. Turn the page. Okay, where's our next break?
Second Amar.
Okay. So you might not have been here when we had this, because I know you missed a couple classes. So let's take a look, folks. Okay? When you have the following, this is a repeat of a rule that we saw with the Gemara on Hanukkah, which is what we did for the last two classes. Da Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. Okay? That means that the first guy is quoting the second guy.
Right.
Okay, in other words, if it just says the Amar Rav so and so, but it doesn't tell us what he says, and instead it tells us Amar another guy, it means that he's saying it in the name of the second guy. The first guy is saying it in the name of the second guy. Quoted. Okay? So this means that it's not that Rav Chana Bar Bizna said, quote, Amar Rav Shimon Chasid. Well, I mean, it is saying that. But again, it's not about the Gemara's focus is not so much on, oh, did he actually say, oh, that Rabbi Shimon Chasida said? It means that he's quoting an idea in the name of Rabbi Shimon Chasida. So you don't have to worry about where the quotation marks begin. You just have to know what the quote is from the rabbis. Okay? So that's the point.
The Gemara, it's accepted that he did say that.
Yeah. In other words, he's saying, I heard this in the name of so and so. All right,
but then that's accepted.
Yeah. Nobody's. That's now. Sometimes they'll debate whether
it's valid.
But if nobody contests that, then it's accepted that it's said in the name of whomever. Okay. They sometimes will say, "I was in the same shir and I heard it differently." All right. Well, that's a different conversation. But then the Gemara is calling into question what the first guy said. Okay. But if nobody calls it into question, then it's accepted that it came from that person. Okay. What's the next break? Okay, so we have the word my. What does the word my mean? We've had it before. It's the same as the Hebrew word ma.
Yeah,
What? Sorry, I do that with my kids all the time. Yeah, who? Exactly. What? Okay. My means what? My dechsiv. Dechsiv, and then you have a footnote. What kind of footnote is it? If you're using the original kind of Gemara, you'll see a circle there, which tells you the Torah or. If you're using the art school version, you're going to see a little aleph with a parenthesis, with a half parenthesis, which means it's a quote. Okay? Now, turn to the back page. Sorry, we're going to flip around a little bit, but I just want you to see this. Okay, now the reason why there's black over there is because that had God's name, and I just didn't want this to turn into Shamos. So I just blocked it out on a computer, which is not considered to be erasing, because if that's the case, anytime you get, it's digital, anytime you get a God's name on your screen, that's it, you can't use your computer anymore. So it's not considered to be erasing. Okay? So, Vayihi Dvar Hashem Tzvos Elai Lemor, this is from Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the Trei Asar, one of the 12 minor prophets. They weren't minor prophets, their books were minor in terms of size, and so they were heaped together. Ko Amar Hashem Tzvos. Everybody with me?
Yep.
On the back page of this booklet? Ko Amar Hashem Tzvos. So remember how every time I tell you that we come across a pasuk, you have to look it up? So now I put my money where my mouth is, okay? We're looking it up. Ko Amar Hashem Tzvos. So says Hashem. Tzom HaRivi'i. V'tzom HaChamishi. V'tzom HaShvi'i. V'tzom HaAsiri. Now we could apply the same rule, by the way. We have a repeat. V'tzom, 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 right? So we're figuring out what this means. So what is a tzom, everybody?
Yes.
Tzom is a fast day. So the fast of the fourth, and the translation here gives us the word month. So the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, the fast of the seventh month, the fast of the tenth month. Yeh lebeis Yehuda l'sasona l'simcha. They will be to the house of Judea, or the house of Judah, to the days of joy and happiness, l'moadim tovim, and holidays, v'emes v'hashalom ehavu. And truth and peace will be loved. Okay? That's the pasuk. This is a prophecy about the four fasts. Let's just identify them so we know what we're talking about. Tzom HaRevi'i, everybody? Well, let's go through the months again. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. So what's the fast of? Shavuot and Tammuz. Chamishi is Av. What's that fast? Tisha B'Av. Shvi'i is Tishrei, said Tzom Gedalia. And Asiri is? That's what everything is. Okay, so these are the fasts as we know them now, and that it's all referred to in this pasuk in Zechariah. Okay, so now we looked up the pasuk, so now we know what we're talking about. Let's go back to the Gemara. Where does the quote from the pasuk end? He doesn't give us the whole pasuk. Okay, and the Gemara doesn't have to give us the whole pasuk. Wait, did it give us the whole pasuk? No, it didn't. It skipped. It skipped the last five words. So where does the quote from the pasuk end? Okay, at the end of the fourth line, correct? Ula simcha. So either we know that because we just remember what we read, or what immediately follows? There's a footnote.
Right.
If you're using the older Gemara, it's an asterisk. If you're using the Art School Gemara, it's a letter with a parenthesis. It's a Rashi Aleph with a parenthesis. Okay, and that indicates that there's a quote from another Gemara. Okay? Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you've looked up the pasuk, and thank God a lot of, you can find a Tanakh in Hebrew English, or, like what I just gave you, so you know where that quote ends, and the Gemara just quoted that pasuk, and it's just giving us the context of all the fasts and where they come from. Where's our next break? It should be pretty easy, because we have two things going for it in the same word.
Kari.
Right? Kari. Kari v'kari. Right? Right? Okay, so what does that word mean? Okay, it's actually similar to a Hebrew word. Kuf resh, in Hebrew it's kuf resh aleph.
Kara.
Right? Kara, right? Called, right? And it's the same thing here. Kari lahu som, that's the first phrase. Where's the next phrase going to end? Okay. Sason v'simcha. So Sason v'simcha is a quote from the pasuk. Okay, and that vav is like a blue and gold kind of vav. Sason v'simcha combines two words, right? Joy and happiness. So basically, the Gemara is giving us two points here regarding the fast days that we just talked about. Kari lahu tzom. What did the pasuk do about those four fast days? It called all of them tzom. Kari lahu tzom. It called them all fast days. V'kari lahu, and it called them sason v'simcha. Okay, I mean, it was talking about how in the future they're going to be
joyous
days, happy days.
So we shouldn't fast anymore.
Okay, that's the Gemara talks about. Okay, that's what we're getting. You know, I told you, you're going to find this Gemara interesting. All right. Let's cut to the chase. Let's get okay. All right. Okay. Okay, so now let's find. All right, so let's talk this out for a second. What is the Gemara, folks? What is the Gemara trying to tell us when it sets the stage and says, "Look, we just read a pasuk. It talks about four fast days. The fast days are called tzom, and they're also called for the future sason v'simcha." What do you think the Gemara is asking? Right, it doesn't make sense. Which one is it? How do we know? How do we know when that future time is? Okay, that's an easy answer. You know, maybe I'll give you a better. I'll give you a better answer. You're living in the time period. So Zechariah, when does Zechariah live? When does Zechariah give this prophecy? Between the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash. You're living now in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. You look at this, and what do you say? You say it's the time. Sason Simcha, right? Because I have a Beis Hamikdash.
Okay.
All right. So now we're in the post second Beis Hamikdash. We say, wait a second. Okay, do we go back to all these fast days? I mean, the Gedaliah thing was over because that happened between the first and the second Beis Hamikdash. Did I still have to fast over the murder of Gedaliah? Do I still have to fast for the first Beis Hamikdash destruction? Well, okay, now the second Beis Hamikdash, same date. All right, okay, so I'll get that one. The destruction of the walls of Jerusalem, all right, I get that one. What about Asar B'Tevis? Asar B'Tevis is really, it's only a reflection of the first Beis Hamikdash. So is it canceled when the second Beis Hamikdash is? Okay.
Obviously not.
Okay, all right, so that's the question. In other words, does the prophecy of Zechariah come into play once again after the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash? Okay? So, look at the answer. Where's our break? How are we going to find this? Okay? We're on the 1, 2, 3, 4, we're on the sixth line. Alright, well, where's our. Okay, so you're seeing repeats. Okay? You see Sason v'Simcha, and you see Tzom. What else do you see? There's another repeat. A word we're all familiar with, guys. Lady and gentlemen, what's another word that we all know here that gets repeated right here?
Amar.
No. Amar. So Amar tells us there's a break. So we're going to stop after Tzom and then between Tzom and Amar. Good. Is it? Where's another one?
Kori.
No. You're in the wrong line. We're in the line that begins with Bizman. Okay. So I already mentioned Sasam Simba. There's another word we haven't mentioned yet that is repeated here that we all know.
Shalom.
Shalom. There you go. Okay. So let's break it down, folks.
Why is there a break there?
I didn't say that it's necessarily a break, but I'm pointing out that it's a repeated word that helps us figure out how to make a lighter pause, let's say.
Right.
Okay? Bizman Sheyesh Shalom Yehiyu Lisason Ulisimcha Ein Shalom Tzom. No, Amar is a pause. Amar introduced a new idea. Okay, Amar means Amar, a new guy is going to say something. Okay, so now let's break this down. The key is trying to figure out where the Lisason Ulisimcha fits in. We know that that's a phrase which is combined together, even though there's a vav, it's combined together, but it's also a repeat. So that means that it's probably going to have a pause after it.
Right.
So let's go back to the four words before it. Bizman sheyei shalom yihiyu. Okay, what does the word yihiyu mean? That's Hebrew.
Will be.
So that means that yihiyu is going to be combined with l'sasam l'simcha. They will be joyous. So the phrase beforehand is Bizman Sheyesh Shalom. Now that's Hebrew, folks. So what does Bizman Sheyesh Shalom mean?
Peace.
Bizman, in the time Sheyesh Shalom, when there is peace, then those days are going to be Sason V'Simcha. Ein Shalom Tzom. If there isn't peace, fast. Okay, now Ein Shalom Tzom is missing a lot of words. We have to fill in the gaps. So how do we know what to say? Let's imagine we've had this before. Bizman sheyei shalom yihiyu l'sason l'simcha. When there is a time of peace, they will become happiness and joyful. What's the rest of the Gemara going to be saying? But the Gemara is going to save ink. So it's say bizman she'ein shalom yihiyu tzom. But the Gemara just skips some of those words. But it means that when there isn't peace, then those days are going to be days of fasting. Okay, that's Gemara talk. You have to fill in those missing words which were given to us in the first phrase. You have to fill it in the second phrase, because it's assuming that you understand that we're repeating those words, even though the Gemara doesn't actually repeat them. That is it's a Gemara formulation. And that is something which you have to be able to learn to recognize when you see this. Once you break it down. Again, the breakdown we did, that's fine. But how do you understand what the Gemara is saying? You have to recognize that that's the formulation. And how do you do that? By noting the repeats and therefore the parallels. Okay, so we're moving on. Is this clear to everybody? What we've just done? That when there is peace, then it's joy. When there isn't peace, then it's a fast. Okay. Now, just to make the point, is there peace right now?
No.
Let me rephrase. Is there somewhat peace now? It's not
fine peace.
Right, exactly. Is there an enemy oppressing the Jewish people now?
Yes.
Oppressing?
Not really.
Okay, not really. Not really. So there isn't. So you're saying there isn't really the opposite of peace. Okay, you don't have an enemy oppression, but at the same time, there isn't peace. So it's a limbo. It's a limbo stage, really. It's really both. It's like it's both, and it's, you know. You know, you understand? So that, and but the Gemara is going to address that. And that's the point of going through this Gemara. Okay? So now we're up to Amar Rav Papa. Again, through learning Gemara, you understand that even if you've ever been to a Siyum, you know that Rav Papa is a name. Okay? Rav Papa is a name. Right. No, there's a lot of Bar Papas. Right? Papa had a lot of kids. Okay. So now we get to the next phrase. Hachi Ka'amar. Okay? Now, this is something which I gave you. So now let's turn to the page in this package which describes Hachi Ka'amar. Okay, it's the page which is numbered 39. It's right after the Gemaras. Okay? Take a minute to read it. Take a minute to read it. It starts on 39 and it spills over to the next page, which is 40, four lines onto the next page. Okay?
Okay.
Hachi Ka'amar. Literally means this is what he says. Freely means this is what he meant. Hachi Ka'amar introduces an answer which will solve the problem at hand by changing our understanding of what the Tana or Amora meant when he said what he said. It only rarely changes the text of what he said. Okay, so again, just to answer your question, Michael, what you said before, are we accepting that what was said in the name of Rabbi Shimon was correct? So usually, so here he's explaining what he means, not changing what he means.
Okay.
The new understanding immediately follows the words Hachi Ka'amar. Make sure you understand what the Gemara's original understanding of the text was, as opposed to what it now thinks the text means, and why this change makes a difference. Okay, skip this, the next sentence, because that's only helpful if you have the book. Sometimes Hachi Ka'amar is followed by an attack, claiming that the wording of the text does not fit such an understanding, generally by use of the phrases Miboyle or Adatani. We're not going to see either of those phrases in the Gemara. If they were, I would have given them to you. At other times, it is followed by a proof involving the wording of the text itself. The proof argues that, because of the way it is worded, the text must be understood in this way. Such a proof is introduced by the words, Deka Nami Diktani, which we're not going to see here either. Okay, so we go back to the Gemara. Yes?
Am I misunderstanding? It almost comes across that the whether it's a tome or not is a fluid thing. It's not a draw from here on. We don't have to
correct.
Pass.
It's based on a reality.
So in other words, God forbid during a pogrom we would have tzom, and when there was shalom, whatever that means,
yeah,
we wouldn't have to fast.
Correct. That is what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara is going to get to. But obviously there are other permutations, and that's also what the Gemara is going to be addressing.
So there isn't a...
Well, I mean, the Gemara has rules. The rules are pretty clear.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. I mean, it's not like what we said before.
It depends on the permutation. Let's take a look. Let's take a look.
It should be forever.
Right, that should be peace. Correct. Then it would be done.
Forever.
Correct.
Okay.
Amar Papa Hachi Ka'amar. Okay, so Hachi Ka'amar introduces a new way of understanding what we said before. Now, I actually explained this to you before because it wasn't so clear. So now he's going to tell us this is what it means. Now, this should be pretty easy for us, at least the first line for sure. Bisman shiye shalom yula sasam alasimcha. That's a repeat of what we saw before. Okay, go look two lines up. That's exactly what we saw before. Bisman shiye shalom yula sasam alasimcha. Now we have a new idea. Remember what the other side of that was? Bisman shiye shalom yula sasam alasimcha. We saw ain shalom tzom. So now Rav Papa is explaining to us what Ein Shalom Tzom really means. Yesh Gzeiras HaMalchus Tzom. How do I know that's the end? Two reasons. Number one, the repetition of Tzom. Secondly, the contrast between Yesh and the next word, which is Ein. Yesh means you have. Ain means you do not have. Okay? So again, the Gemara is giving us contrasts. So let's figure out what this means. Yesh gzeiras hamalchus tzom. Yesh means you have. Tzom, we know what that means. That's the conclusion. What's gzeiras hamalchus? Right? Royal edict, oppression. Okay? That's what I mentioned before. Ain gzeiras hamalchus. Okay, so now let's figure out the next phrase. Where's the next determination? Where's the next pause? Right before Ratzu. Okay, and you're going to note that the word Ratzu is going to repeat also. So this is the, remember, Yesh Gzeiras Malchus Tzom, And the contrast to that is, Ein Gzeiras HaMalchus Ve'ein Shalom. Okay? Now,
that's what we have now.
Okay, that's another repeat. So what happens if you don't have Gzeiras HaMalchus, you don't have oppression, Ve'ein Shalom, but you don't have peace, then what's the Gemara's conclusion? Or at least its initial conclusion here. Okay? So where's our next thing? What's our next major pause?
Before the second Ratzah.
Okay, so we have, so good. And what's the next one going to be?
E.
Before or after E?
Before
E. Okay, before E is correct. And how do we know that? Because this is a classic Gemara formulation. Ratzu misanin, ratzu ein misanin. Misanin is a repeat. So now let's figure out what these two phrases mean. What is ratzu? If they want, who's they? The Jewish people. Misanin, okay, comes from the word tainis, which means to fast. Then, so ratzu means if they want to. Misanin, they fast. Ratzu, if they want, ein misanin, they don't fast.
They have a choice.
Okay, they have a choice. Correct.
So is that a personal thing?
Ah, that's the big question. Okay. Is it a personal? Or what does ratzu mean?
Desire.
No, but what is it? Is it singular or plural?
Plural.
Okay, correct. So it's plural. So it boils down to the question of what do the Jewish people accept as a unit? Well, guess what? The Jewish people never accept anything as a unit. Okay? Right. Never accept anything as a unit. What did I just... Oh, last night in the talk here, Mimi Jankovic spoke about the idea of getting... There are government funds available to help offset tuition in schools in a manner which I'm not going to talk about now. But she said that there was a poll done to Jewish across Jewish communities. What's the biggest challenge facing the Jewish community? And she said that 97% of the respondents said tuition. So she said the idea that Jews would agree on anything is unbelievable. The fact that 97% right shows that this really is across the board. So anyway, but that's the question. Ratzu misanin, if they, the Jewish people, agree to fast, then they fast. Ratzu, if they agree not to fast, then ain misanin. So right, can we vote on it? We can vote on it here. I know where you're voting. But okay. But now, by and large, the observant community still says fast. Why? Because the fact of the matter is, as many people said here in this room, ein shalom, ein shalom. Now we are in this limbo state. I think we all agree that we're in the ratzu, that we're in the state of ein gzeiras hamalchus. We don't have oppression. At the same time, ein shalom, right? Ein shalom. So that's where we are. Okay, we're going to stop here with the Gemara. We'll continue with this next time. So you can please, you can take this, look over the Feigenbaum stuff. Look over the Gemara if you like. Just practice reviewing and see if you can break it down for yourself. But that is where we are. And so that's our introduction to Asar B'Teves. And we'll look at the other things which are discussed here next time. Because there's a fascinating debate as to when the fast of Teves is supposed to take place between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. And it's based on different psukim which talk about different events in the month of Teves, which, I would imagine, unless you know this Gemara, you don't really know about it, or unless you know the Psukim in Yechezkel, you don't really know about it. So we'll hopefully we'll get through that next time. Okay, folks, Yashar Koyach. Thank you.